They clinch a playoff spot. They're celebrating in Seattle. What makes this team dangerous?
Yeah, I think the big thing, right, is they seem to have gotten their pitching somewhat sorted out, right? I mean, tonight wasn't any kind of major win, right? They basically eke out a 2-1 victory in extras. You know, they're playing Seattle, who's, you know, woeful in terms of offense. But they're making the wins happen when they need to have them happen. I don't know if we can say that the aura of the Yankees is back by any stretch. I mean, this is just simply not what we had in the late 90s and in the early 2000s. But I will say it feels a little bit different. The chaos and the randomness of the postseason, I will be interested to see how they match up now that they've clinched.
While we're talking about the American League East, the Orioles have struggled. They've dropped 9 of 12. What's going on with them?
Untimely hitting, for one. You know, everybody goes through their slumps. Some slumps are longer than others, and this is not the place to have them. I always wonder, Amy, I mean, this is the thing that's very hard to look at. Everybody goes through these slumps, and then the good teams, of course, turn them around faster. When is it not a slump and something more systemic? And I'm looking at the Orioles right now. They're not losing a few games. They're losing a lot of games in this stretch. It's just not the place for them to be. You know, are they going to back themselves into the postseason? It looks like it. Are they going to make as much noise as I maybe thought that they were, you know, maybe 2 months ago? I'm not so sure right now.
We had another team clinch a playoff spot on Wednesday. That's the Brewers, their third National League Central title in 4 years. And this is a team that for a while was kind of battling with the rest of the Central, or at least a couple teams there, and then blew that division out of the water. How'd they do it?
Yeah, and you know, again, I think that you kind of mentioned it right there. It has been a division that has not been able to get any traction. And so it was ripe to have a team that has been consistently well. Again, I think the thing that's always bothersome when you look at this is you go, oh, in the vacuum of division play, they look like they're going to run, you know, the table. When they get into the playoffs, right, everything tends to change quite a bit with them. I don't want to read too much into it. I'm not discounting them by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a weak division quite a bit, right? And very streaky in spots. I'd be interested to see how they do, clinching a postseason spot, how they do.
We're always happy to have our friend Mari Brown on the show. He's a senior contributor covering baseball for Forbes, and he's with us here after hours with Amy Lawrence. Both leagues are top heavy, and so there are some real races for best record and home field. Who needs that the most, Mari, when it comes to the playoffs in October?
Yeah, this is a really great question. I think that the Dodgers probably need this a little bit, and I say that in the sense that they have just seemed to struggle in the postseason so badly. You know, they're trying so desperately to get over that hump. Certainly the Yankees, I think, could use it. You know, there's just such an electric environment in that situation. It's been really wild to watch how some of these teams have been. Their splits have been really interesting. I'm going to sit there right now. I'm going to pick on those two teams right now and say that I think that would be helpful.
The Dodgers certainly have some challenges with their pitching. It seems like more often than not, it's a pitcher getting hurt and not part of the rotation than it is some positive news. But we know for Shohei Ohtani, it's been an historic year already. Another stolen base on Wednesday. So he's sitting on 49. He's got the 48 home runs. How significant, how big a deal would it be to have a 50-50 season?
It's remarkable. And, you know, Amy, it's so hard to look at history when you're sitting on top of it. I think that oftentimes we sit there and we just kind of take it for granted. And I still, to this day, I don't know if we've ever seen a guy like him. And it's just such an extraordinary thing. Remember, he could come in. I can't believe that we're saying this. It's possible that he could pitch in the postseason. And that, to me, just blows my mind on top of everything else. Is he going to win the NL MVP? I don't know. You know, it's a pretty tight race right now in that spot. But if he goes 50-50, I think that he's going to get it. And right now, I think that he's going to, you know, I think it would take something pretty extraordinary for him not to get it at this stage. Every year I sit there and I'm like, oh, wow, you know, he got dinged up again, you know, in terms of his pitching. And then here we are in the middle of it. And I think that that was the thing that was lost when he was being a two-way guy last year, which was we failed to think about just how solid he is in pretty much every facet of the game. God bless it. I mean, if I'm Rob Manfred, you want that guy to go deep into the postseason, right? You want him. You want Aaron Judge. He would never had that opportunity with the Angels, and I think that there is the possibility, again, until they get their monkey off their back. But, again, I think it would just be great for baseball for him to get more of a national platform. So I'm rooting for him in that sense and looking for the Dodgers. You know, at least they need to get out of the first round, at very least.
I have this theory that he could put numbers like this together every year at the plate if he weren't pitching. I mean, we've heard him talk about how much he has to sleep when he's doing both and that he doesn't take BP because of the fact that he's also thinking about pitching and every fifth day and the work that goes into that. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder how much better he could be as a hitter if that's all he was doing, Maury.
Well, this is the thing. Everybody was like bemoaning the deal that he was going to get and the fact that he was, of course, dinged up as a pitcher. But if I look at his mechanics as a hitter, just the way that his body is built and the way that his swing runs through the plane, he has just such a remarkable mechanics. Of course, those things change a bit over time, but I don't see that for a while. The Dodgers are smart. They were very smart in this. I mean, he's a marketing panacea for them. They're going to make, they've already made a ton of money just marketing that guy. And so the fact that he can go ahead and do what he's doing right now on the base paths and at the plate shows that there's this extended value. Again, if he pitches in the postseason, he rests up, he's able to pitch next year. Let's say he can only pitch maybe two more seasons. He still has exceptional value. I mean, it's, again, one of those things that we have never seen anything like this, not since Ruth was with the Red Sox.
Maury Brown is with us covering baseball on the end of the regular season for Forbes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the Phillies right now are the best team in baseball in terms of a record. They've had some close calls, some near misses the last couple years. How prepared are they now for the October stage?
I think they're the most prepared right now. They look really good. I mean, if I was going to sit there and go, what's a team that should make the postseason but go deep, I would say it's the Phillies. For the reasons that you mentioned, Amy, I mean, they were right there. They were right there. There is, of course, some randomness of the postseason. I talk about this often and write about it. It's so different now that we have the wild card series, how this can change.
Yes.
And so you would sit there and you would go, oh, the regular season matters. And it really matters when I look at it. But I do have to look at them and say that it would take something catastrophic on their part and some team just coming in ultra white hot with their pitching and their hitting to go ahead and upend them right now. I have to look at them certainly as the favorite to get to the NLCS and maybe, of course, win the World Series at this stage.
The Padres are closing in on a wild card spot after a swoon in 2023. How did they get back to relevance, Maury?
I think that there was taking pressure off of them, quite honestly. And there was so much pressure on them. Of course, we had the PED situation with Tatis, and there was all the clubhouse stuff. We saw what happened with Manny Machado and him, and I just think that the chemistry was kind of upside down. Pitching certainly matters, but they're just one of these things where they've kind of slid under the radar. I would get back to the fact that there's parity at the top. You're not going to have a team, unless there's something absolutely remarkable at this point, you're not going to have a 100-win team. And we haven't seen this in a while. There's certainly, you know, problems at the bottom, and God bless the, you know, Chicago White Sox right now for that. But again, it's been pretty balanced in the top third of the league, and that, I think, really plays into a lot of it. I think that there's just opportunity there. And again, the Dodgers, for as great as they are, pitching has always been the large question. I mean, Kershaw obviously is a big, huge question right now, and just around how their overall rotation is going to be going into the postseason. So I think that they look at it as an opportunity.
So a couple of teams that we haven't seen in the playoffs in a while are hanging around in the American League. The Royals, the Twins, the Tigers, all from the Central. Of course, the Mets rebounded from what was an abysmal start. The Diamondbacks, they were obviously in the World Series a year ago. Which of these teams do you think has the most staying power come postseason?
Yeah, this is a great question. First of all, if the Twins don't get some things sorted out pretty quick, and the Tigers continue on this, you know, torrid stretch that they've run. They've won four straight. They're a half game out. If I was a Twins fan right now, I would be beside myself. I mean, it's just very hard to watch. And so I, in terms of staying power, it's a great question. The team that I think, and I don't know how many times I'm going to have this conversation, seems to happen every year, is the Houston Astros. I look at them as the team that I would be the most afraid of right now. There's been a couple of incidents right now around some minor injuries, Bregman and Altuve. We had the weirdness last night where he took his shoes off and got ejected. And that's going to be a great, you know, I love baseball because of stuff like that. But again, their pitching started to come around. The Astros were so bad to come out of it. And I expected them to regress a little bit. And that was part of the reason why the Mariners opened up a 10-game lead on everybody and then swooned. I honestly, right now, if I was afraid of any team right now simply because they've been there so much and they've been able to go ahead and get their pitching sorted out, I would look at the Houston Astros.
You brought up the White Sox. I was going to ask you, but as we wrap up, they've had a brutal season, of course. It's not the first one to have as many losses as they do. And, of course, we're not at the end of the regular season yet, but 117 at this point. How do you begin to fix that?
Well, they have to rebuild their farm system. I mean, this is something that's been a glaring hole for them for a while. And I think that they're trying to set the expectations for fans that this is not something that's going to get turned around next year. You're just not going to be able to do it with free agency. They're that bad. I mean, Amy, I don't know if the fans saw this already, but if you go out and look at the White Sox Twitter account, they said something to the effect of, "We lost again. The other team scored more runs." I mean, that it wasn't even that they didn't even list the score. It was amazing in the sense that it was like, this is what we're sitting upon. They're going to lose 120 games. They're going to tie or surpass the 62 Mets. The real question, I think, is largely going to be like how their win percentage is going to be in relationship to it. And again, I think that it is one of those things to where they've, you know, you can only rearrange deck chairs on the Titanic so many times. They've fired Kenny Williams. They've fired their manager. You know, they've tried to do this a number of ways. They brought in Tony La Russa. It's just not worked. And this, I think, again, speaks to the fact that they just have not been able to develop. And if you're a modern team right now, if you don't have a good farm system built up, you're just not going to be able to do this sort of thing for very long. It's just so competitive now. Teams are able to scout each other so much better than they have, even in the last 5 years, that if you just don't have a pipeline and then augment with free agency, you just can't go out and buy free agents right now and expect to turn around a team that bad that fast.
Mm. The official tweet, "The other team scored more runs than us." It's only been viewed 4 million times with 85,000 likes, and it's barely 7 hours old now. So, yeah, there's a lot happening, but the White Sox not part of October. You can find Maury Brown online at BizBall, B-I-Z, Ball Maury, and he's a senior contributor for Forbes. We seem to love him. We keep dialing your number, so thank you for responding to the call, still taking our call and talking baseball with us.
All right, Amy, you have a great evening now. We'll talk to you later.